2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. The Apostle Paul, preaching to a young pastor named Timothy, had these words to say under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own defenses, they'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, do the work of an evangelist, discharge the duties of your ministry. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, again the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received from the Lord. By completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Well, today we enter into part 4 of our series, Revival and Renewal. Today we'll discuss a serious problem among Christian people. Why is it that Christians hate to be told they're wrong? The Bible clearly says in our passage today that we as Christian pastors and ministers are to, in love, reprove, rebuke, and exhort. But quite often, Christian people resent being told that they're wrong, even by a pastor or by God Himself. Why is that, do you suppose? Well, today we're going to take a look at a few reasons why people, Christians in particular, hate to be told they're wrong. The first one, they don't value the truth. For some, the value of the truth is not what it once was and what God wants it to be. We value other things in life even more, and those things have often displaced God's absolute truth as truth. Sometimes we buy into the lies of the world and the lies of Satan himself as he seeks to convince mankind that God is not speaking absolute truth. Atheists come along and say there's no such thing as absolute truth. There's no such thing as truth. So why do you put any value in this bronze-aged book of fairy tales, they want to know? The truth has been changed into a lie. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to declare one thing to you. Because mankind has changed the truth into a lie, doesn't mean the truth has become a lie. The truth is still the truth, no matter what you believe. I've gotten older in years, and as I have gotten older, I have realized one thing, and that is, I don't care what you say you believe. You can believe that you can fly to the moon, and that doesn't convince me that you can fly to the moon. You can wrongly interpret the Word of God and say that is truth. And that doesn't make it truth. Because you believe something doesn't make it true. But because the truth is established by God, we know what absolute truth is. Absolute truth is limited to that which God says is absolute. That's it. End of story. No more debate. No more arguing whether you can actually fly with an umbrella like Mary Poppins or whether you think you can stare at a telephone pole long enough and it'll fly to the moon. The truth is not the truth unless God says it is. You see, when you realize what truth is, all of a sudden it becomes valuable. But when you look at other things and begin to call it truth because your teacher said so at school, because the textbook said it was true, because scientific man-made theory says it's true or it's not true, and you begin to believe what man says is true and ignore what the creator of the universe says is true. Now answer me honestly, which one is the fool among mankind? Those who say what God says is a lie, are those who say what man says is true, no matter what. Did you get it? Both of those are fools in God's eyes. They have denied that God is who he says he is, and they might as well say there is no God. If you're going to redefine God in your image, you are saying there is no true God. You must understand that if you're to understand what the truth is all about. The second reason that many people, and Christians in particular, hate to be told they're wrong is because they've changed the truth into a lie. We talked about that just a little bit before. If you accept the truth as truth, then the truth is truth, and a lie is a lie. But when you begin to redefine truth, as is happening in our culture today, in America today, we hear about things like, Hollywood is rebooting old movies and coming back with new ways to mess up a classic. Given the fact that technology has improved and a little thing called computer graphics has come along, it's created some very good illusions that the truth is being portrayed on television. But the truth is, science fiction will never become a truth, and those things that are classified as such will never be absolute truth. But you see, the possibility of believing that it's a truth, the illusion of truth, is greatly enhanced when you can bring it to the screen and you can make it look to be true. But ladies and gentlemen, man has changed truth into a lie. A lot of science fiction things that have been so popular in the past 3 or 4 decades, including Star Trek and Star Wars and other such space phenomenon, is good example of that. You follow the line in Star Wars and you realize that in the prequels, they went back to the time where Darth Vader, Anakin Skywalker, was a little boy. And his mother says, when he was asked by one of the Jedi Knights who the father of the boy was, who had this extraordinary power, the Jedi power, he called it. And the mama said, there was no father. It just happened, and one day he was born. Do you realize what's happening there? They're stealing the truth of the virgin birth of Christ and saying that Anakin Skywalker, who was perverted by evil and became Darth Vader, is the same as Jesus Christ. Do you understand where that leads? It has led to what has been called a Jedi religion in the world today, and it is as real and as present as the Christian church in the United States of America. There are many who believe that the Force is with them, and they can conjure up all kinds of things. They can, with telekinetics, lift a rock or a spaceship out of the water by lifting their hand and concentrating on the object. Ladies and gentlemen, you can believe that all you want to, but it still will be a lie. It will be classified as what it should be, science fiction. Fiction means it's not truth, but so many people have taken fiction and turned it into truth. Many people through the years have taken Greek philosophy and turned it into the truth and created modern, quote, real gods out of Greek mythology. Many have taken other false religions and turned them into the truth for man. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to declare you they're not true. They are lies. The only thing that is the truth is what God says it's truth. A man who meant a lot to me, who's in heaven now, a preacher of the gospel, a man who ordained me into the ministry in 1982, said, when that which is normal becomes abnormal and that which is abnormal becomes normal, the world has officially come apart at the seams. Brother John Ragsdale said those words, and no words could ever express what I'm trying to tell you than those words. right there. You see, man has changed God's truth into a lie. And I'm here to tell you right now in Romans 1:21 is right when it says they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who alone is forever to be praised. Amen. Paul to the book of Romans made it clear, you can't change the truth into a lie. And when you try and you pretend that a truth is the lie, first of all, you damage yourself. And secondly, you damage everybody who hears you say that and believes it. Yet another reason people and Christians in particular hate to be told they're wrong is that people think that being told they're wrong means that somehow they've become inferior or second class. I'm here to tell you right now that being told you're wrong is the best thing God could ever do for you or I. He could just allow us to blunder around in the wrong, thinking we are right, and wait until we get to the end of our lives only to hear Him say, "You were wrong all this time," and we respond by saying, "But God, You never told me I was wrong." And God replied, "I didn't want to hurt your feelings or make you feel inferior." What kind of excuse would that be? We would know that we had not worshiped the true God if those words came from His mouth, because God will tell you when you're wrong. He'll tell you when you have messed up. He will tell you when you have sinned. He will tell you when you are ready to hear it. And sometimes He'll tell you when you're not ready to hear it. And when that happens, that's when you think you've become inferior or second class, even in God's eyes. And I'm here to tell you, Satan has defeated you if you believe that. Because God rebukes those whom He loves, those whom He cares about. God says, "You're wrong. You're going the wrong direction. Turn around. Repent." Well, the results of this unfortunate tendency to believe we're somehow inferior or second class results in our trying to recreate God in our own image. You know what I'm talking about. People say, "Well, it's not so wrong to do this," or "It's not so wrong to do that." And I don't believe God is offended by that. I remember one time hearing former President Jimmy Carter make a statement about the time the Supreme Court legalized gay marriage in the United States. Former President Carter said, "I don't believe God is offended by gay marriage. After all, He created them that way." I thought I'd fall out of my chair. The one thing I thought that was good about Mr. Carter was that he served the Lord. But I find some indiscretions in Mr. Carter's beliefs. If you can say that God said in the Bible that a certain activity or thing is an abomination and a sin, and then turn around and tell him individually, or you individually, that he's not offended by that because they were created that way, what kind of God do you think we serve? God is perfect. He has been perfect. He will forever remain perfect. God does not lie. He does not change His mind, and He does not sin. And when man says he does all the above, man has recreated God in his wrong, in his own image, and that's wrong. And they did that because they were tired of feeling inferior or second class because God rebuked them for their sin. That's what happens. That's why all of this stuff is going on in our society today. That's why the national news media has stopped reporting news and is rather now reporting what they call a news narrative. It's a narrative based on what they're told they need to say in order to direct America in the proper direction. They consider themselves to be nation changers rather than truth reporters. And truth reporting is what the news was all about from the very beginning. And most people in the world and in the United States today who remember the late Walter Cronkite, the longtime anchor for the CBS Evening News. He was America's newsman. The most trusted name in America was Walter Cronkite. And everybody wanted to hear Walter give the news because they knew that Walter Cronkite would give the news, and that's all he did. Rarely ever, if ever, did you ever hear his opinion during a newscast when he was doing live things such as reporting the moon landing. Maybe you've seen the clips of that time when he was reporting Neil Armstrong stepping off of that spacecraft onto the surface of the moon. He got very emotional as he reported that incident. Maybe you saw the time that he reported the assassination of President Kennedy. He was very emotional, but he still reported the news. We don't have news now except in a few conservative and mostly Christian news sites. I don't even trust all conservative news sites because they too have a narrative. Only difference in them and the other side is they're reporting it conservatively, and one is reporting the narrative liberally. That's the only difference. The only difference in some. But then when it comes to Christian news, who are guided by the principles of God, who are commanded to tell the truth in all things, who are commanded to lead people to Christ, not to try to force them to God, but to lead them to God. That's what a Christian news service is and does. That's what a Christian radio station is and does. Our job here at Joy Christian Radio is not to force people into Christianity. We couldn't do that if we tried. Our job is to tell the truth and let God do the rest in the hearts of listeners. That's why we preach the word and not pound the word. That's why we preach the truth and not pound the truth. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And God himself does not force man to believe the truth. If he did, this world would be a whole lot different than it is now. It would be robotic. It would be automatic. It'd be like puppets on a string. And God did not create man to be that. God wanted man to worship him of his own free choice. God wanted man to choose him, not be forced to serve him. That's why God gave us free will. But the reason why churches are splitting down the middle today over sexual immorality and, God help us, over homosexuality is because man has been thinking he was inferior or second class because God didn't approve of their sexuality. God's word rebuked them and reproved them of their sin, and they rejected God. That's why the Boy Scouts now have girls in the Boy Scouts. That's why there's a so-called transgender movement. That's why men can go into women's restrooms pretending to be a girl, claiming to be a female, and go in the women's restroom and gawk at women who are in the restroom. That's why it's happening right before us today. I think the reason some people can't apologize when they're wrong isn't actually because they don't like to be wrong, but because it's seen as inherent character fault. We think it's messing up our character to be wrong. Well, let me tell you the truth about that. It messes up your character when you pretend to be right and you know you're wrong. When you've been reproved and rebuked and exhorted and you've ignored it, that is what makes you look foolish in God's eyes and in man's eyes as well. You see, The irrational people always think they need to be perfect in the sight of society. They feel like when they mess up, it is unforgivable. But if you know God, then you know different. If you know God, you know that when He reproves you, or when you are reproved by ministers or by those who are serving the Lord, you will know that it's not only forgivable, God is waiting to forgive you if you'll just ask. The difficulty in admitting failure largely comes from the unrealistic expectation that, quote, I have to get it right every time. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is not of God. That is dreamed up by man. So it's true. Man believes that if he has been reproved, he has somehow become inferior or second class. And that's simply not true. Another reason people, and Christians in particular, hate to be told they're wrong. People think that never admitting fault means that you look stronger in the eyes of your peers. You know, we sometimes think that if you're a perfect person, you are the best person in society. Well, let me tell you something. There's no such thing as a perfect person. Christian, if you think you're perfect and you think you have never sinned and you will never sin again, let me tell you something. You're as wrong can be. I've heard people say, I do believe in sinless perfection after the Holy Spirit enters my life. Now, some believe that's at salvation. Some believe it happens later. Doesn't matter what you think about that. But if you believe that you become sinlessly perfect after that event or any event takes place in your life while you're still in this flesh, you miss the mark. Your flesh is driving you the wrong direction, and it will drive you the wrong direction every day you take a breath. Why is that? It's because of sin. You cannot cleanse your flesh of future sins. God can cleanse it of past sins, but He will not cleanse it of future sins until you act upon them. That's because you have a free will. That's because God won't force you to be perfect even after you're saved. You see, how you live your life after you're saved is still your choice. For some today in our culture, appearing apologetic is congruent to being weak. Well, you know what? That notion has crept into the Christian faith. That somehow, if we have to apologize because we sinned, let me put that in Christian terms. If you have to repent because you sinned every time you sin, then somehow you appear to be weak in God's eyes, or maybe God's not keeping you in His power, or maybe something's wrong with God. Folks, that is so far from true. The truth is that anybody who admits to their sin is strong in Christ. The Bible clearly says, in our weakness, God shows forth His strength. In your imperfections, God shows His strength. We sing songs about it all the time. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever thank my God above and lift mine eyes to Calvary, as the song says, to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous it is that God loves you and that He continues to forgive you when you fail, when you fail Him. You know, I can remember many times in my life when I have, as a human being, I've failed. And I've had to go to people and ask for their forgiveness. Sometimes beg for their forgiveness. When I have committed wrong and I repent, God gives me a repentant heart. And I can't necessarily make up for everything I've ever done wrong. but I can have a repentant heart toward it. And if I don't have a repentant heart, if I haven't at least put forth some effort to try to make up for what I did, then I'm not sure I have a repentant heart. You see, repentance is more than just apologizing to God and neglecting mankind for what you did to mankind. That's not repentance. Repentance is to God. But that repentance means you're sorry for that sin to whomever it was committed against. First to God and then to man. That's a repentant heart. I know people who have committed heinous sins over a period of years, fallen into the trap of sexual immorality or sexual molestation, and who for years molested people or had affairs with people or lived in sexual immorality. And when that person got saved, sometimes I've seen a broken heart. I've seen a person so broken over what they had done that they admitted it and they cried and they begged and they tried and they worked for forgiveness toward the people they had sinned wrong because they were sorry for that sin. You know what? The beauty with God is you don't have to beg God for forgiveness. He'll forgive you immediately and He'll forgive you forever then. But that doesn't mean your repentant heart as a human being just dies at that point. Ladies and gentlemen, a broken heart is a broken heart that only God through time can heal. Only as you try to make it right. Only as you admit to people that you were wrong do you really find healing. You don't find healing until God heals you. And you can't find healing from something you've hidden away. It doesn't heal, it just festers and gets worse. People think that admitting your fault is a sign of weakness. Let me tell you something. Admitting your fault is a sign of strength. It takes a much stronger person to admit their fault than it does to hide it. If you say, I'm 100% perfect, I'm 100% right all the time, that's pretty hard to believe. I'd find it hard to trust that person that says they're 100% perfect. And I found it hard to trust Christians who say I never sin because they just did. I don't know of anybody anywhere who never sins as long as you live in this mortal body. Sinless perfection is not what the Bible says we have. Striving to be better than we are today, tomorrow, is what God wants of us. That is what a repentant heart is, to do our best. Acknowledge when we fail and pray that God would help us to do better in the future. That is a heart pleasing to God. And finally, I want to talk to you about the end result of all of this. What happens when man turns the truth into a lie? What happens when man lives a lie all of his life and believes it's okay because of whatever excuse he has come up with? It's plainly clear from the scriptures today. The end result of turning the truth into a lie and good into evil and right into wrong means that those who have right are punished because they're doing right, but it's now accepted as evil and vice versa. Those who are turning truth into a lie will be praised because their lie is what people will praise in the future. The Bible tells us very clearly that people in our day, the last days, will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And He says, but you, Christian, you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardships, discharge all the duties of your ministry, and do the work of an evangelist. Tell people about the Lord Jesus. The end result is that what's happening in the Christian church in America today, and we're headed for persecution. We just haven't realized it yet. As the prevailing mode of the reversing of the polarity of good and evil switches place, in some cases, Christian people will be rebuked because they believe in God because of the, quote, evil side of Christianity. They're talking about the forbidding of sexual immorality and the forbidding of homosexuality and gay marriage and transgenderism and all of those things that have been concocted in our world today. But right now, Christian churches are splitting right down the middle over all of these crazy notions that are straight from the pit of hell. Ladies and gentlemen, God's word never changes. And when he said homosexuality is an abomination, he has not changed his mind. When he says that adultery is a sin, he hasn't changed his mind. It's still part of the Ten Commandments. And we're still commanded to obey them today. The Christian church in America is headed for major persecution as we fall apart. Once upon a time, the Christian church in America influenced the country. Now, the church as a whole is being influenced by the country that is falling apart, morality-wise, at the seams. The key plank in the new platform from the Democratic National Party says, quote, "Those most loudly claiming that morals, value, and patriotism must be defined by their religious, particular religious views have used those religious views with misplaced claims of religious liberty to justify policy that has threatened the civil rights and liberties of many Americans, including but not limited to the LGBT community, women, and ethnic and religious non-religious minorities. The party's hostility towards Christian beliefs and values was more clear, so clear that putting it on this paper raises the message of the Democratic Party to another level. And before you go saying that's just the Democrats, that's why I'm a Republican, hold on to your hats. The Republicans are not much better. They're better in terms of words, but I don't see much action. And as the wise old Indian chief once said, where there is a lot of smoke, but no fire, there is no action. And that's what's happening largely in the Republican Party. Politics as a whole has gone down the tubes, and you need to admit that. And before you start saying that one man who is running on the Republican Party is the savior of America, let me tell you something, and let me tell you something strongly and truthfully. No human being who is breathing in the flesh can save America. You'd better write that down, and you'd better live by that. I don't care who you vote for. I don't care who you vote against. What I care about is that you accept Christ and live by his teachings and the teachings of the Word of God alone. When you say that, then you finally got it right. Let me tell you, in closing today, the Scriptures are very strong when they talk about reproof. I want to give you a few examples. A lot of these are from the Proverbs. Take a listen to this. Proverbs 9:8. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he'll love you. 13:18. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. 15:31. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. 27:5. Better is open rebuke than love that is concealed. 15:32. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof requires understanding. 15:10. Punishment is for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die. And finally, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. Reproof, it's good for the soul. Accept God's reproof today and live, or reject it and die.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today. Just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place.
Listening to Sunday Worship here on Joy Christian Radio. Sunday Worship is heard at 11 a.m. and again at 6 p.m. Central every Sunday here on all of our Joy Christian Radio FM stations and online at classicgospel.net. You can also hear today's sermon on the podcast. Just go to the website, joychristianradio.com, and click on podcast. This program is made possible because of the gifts from our supporters who believe in the ministry of Joy Christian Radio as we spread the hope of the gospel to the world via the internet and social media. You can mail a tax-deductible contribution of support to Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355, or support via electronic means at the website. That address again is joychristianradio.com. Click on the support tab to make your contribution. Thank you for listening, and thank you for your support of Sunday Worship, a presentation of Joy Christian Radio and Joy Christian Ministries.